comes. The latest people, trends, and news on sustainable living in and around our corner of the country. Down to Earth with Mrs. Green. Spotlight on the Southwest. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are indeed listening to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest. I am Gina Murphy-Darling, and I thank you for listening and for being a part of Mrs. Green's world. First, I'd like to thank the sponsor of our show today, Pima Association of Governments, lovingly known around here as PAG. Their programs and services support regional planning efforts to enhance mobility, sustainability, and livability in all of our communities. And their very important mission is to actually address regional issues through cooperative efforts and pooled resources, and to provide accurate, relevant data that leads to effective regional planning decisions. It's really important. It's a really big job, and they are doing a great one on so many levels. So thank you, Pima Association of Governments, for your support of the Mrs. Green's World mission and vision, and for all the work that you do in our community that really matters, especially now more than ever. Okay, so joining me for the next 30 minutes in studio is a repeat guest on the Mrs. Green's World Show. Please join me in welcoming Colleen Crowninshield. She is the Clean Cities Manager for PAG and pretty much knows just about anything you'd ever want to know about clean fuels. I've yet to stump her, and why this issue is so important to our air quality and in turn the quality of life for people in our community and on the planet. So kiddo, welcome back.
Thank you.
And I think we should always start, I want to start singing this. Let's start at the very beginning, a very good place to start. But there are people that don't know what Clean Cities is. So isn't that a great place to start the conversation?
That is a great place to start. I'm shocked. No, but they're
out there. Yeah, who doesn't know about Clean Cities? Hello.
So we are a program that is run through the U.S. Department of Energy. The focus of the program is to help reduce dependence on petroleum. We do that by deploying alternative fuels and alternative fueled vehicles. So that is our mission.
And it sounds simple, but there are a lot of moving parts.
Boy, are there.
A lot of moving parts. So as part of that, you have this comprehensive Clean Cities Coalition. So who's in the coalition, and why would someone want to be a member of this fun group?
So I tell people that we have everything from the big dogs like the University of Arizona, Raytheon Missile Systems, Davis-Monthan, right down to the little guys like Poo Guys, which is two brothers who clean up dog poo. So we have everything
in between. I think I've heard of them.
Yes.
This is Tucson, the Poo Guys.
The Poo Guys. So we have everything in between. And what our coalition members do really is they focus on looking at their own fleets and what alternative fuels might be best for them, and starting to move those fleets over to cleaner burning fuels.
Which really, really, really matters.
It matters.
We're going to make this story all about clean cities. So I love to hear what I call eco-champion stories. And we have always sung the Golden Eagle praises, and they were. I mean, they converted their whole fleet to compressed natural gas. Mm-hmm. They put in compressed natural gas fueling stations.
So open to the public as well.
Open to the public. I mean, that was massive what they did. Do you have any more current eco-champion stories that you'd like to share? Let's celebrate good stories.
I actually have three.
Good.
I do. One of them is the city of Tucson. And I got to tell you, they really knocked it out of the park this year. They have those big trash haulers that we all can't stand to drive behind because they smell when they belch that diesel fuel. Well, they're no longer belching diesel fuel. They are now compressed natural gas. And they have begun to move their entire trash hauler fleet to natural gas.
I'm speechless. Write that down. I'm speechless.
It's huge.
So let's just make sure that we don't gloss over this, because
it's a big
I know
deal.
A lot, having been a member of the coalition for a really long time. What does that entail in terms of the vehicle, and how does Clean Cities help them? It doesn't just magically happen and poof, you're not a diesel disgusting belching smelly machine.
It doesn't, because the first thing that has to be done is looking at what vehicles are out there that they could purchase. Not everybody builds a natural gas trash hauler. So you have to go out and find the vehicles. You have to help them find any grant opportunities that might be available because it's not cheap. And then you have to help them with the infrastructure because if you're going to ask them to move to a cleaner burning fuel, you have to be able to fuel
that
fleet.
A way to access it. Right.
So all of that combined was a work in progress. But I do have to say that that department, the environmental department and the fleet department at the city, just really knocked it out of the park.
So was it the Department of Environmental Services?
It was both Department of Environmental Services and the city fleet department.
Wow. So did they replace their entire fleet over time?
They're working overtime to do that. I believe right now they have about 57, I believe, that are natural gas. That in and of itself, the amount of petroleum that they displace with that is huge, and the amount of greenhouse gases. So it's really fun to see their excitement as well. You know?
And for those people listening around the country, it's so noteworthy to bring this up in terms of extreme weather and climate change. So we are sitting here in Tucson, Arizona. The temperature is probably a frosty 92, 93 degrees in March. And then let's just go across the country where they're having severe, aberrant storms where there's 2 feet of snow being dumped in places that don't usually even get snow this year. So it really matters about the CO2 emissions. Let's bring it right back there.
It
why
does.
That matters.
And I got to tell you, I'm just looking at some preliminary numbers here, Gina, and it looks like they have reduced their greenhouse gas emissions by about 328 tons. In one
I mean,
year.
We. I just like every once in a while, I like to ring the bell. That's a bell ringer, and they need to hear that.
They deserve it.
I mean, in one year?
Yes, and over 400,000 gallons of fuel.
Now, when they do something like that, let's go back to the first Eco Champion we talked about, and there'll be, you know, there are people there that will still love it. Did the fact that Golden Eagle had a way to provide fuel, did it have an impact, or did the fact that they did it have an impetus to make the decision for the city?
I think it helped spur the interest.
Okay.
I do, because they're so close to each other. The city fleet, right. Refuse fleet is at Park and Ajo as well, and I think they saw it quite often. They saw the public perception, and it's a good one. And so I do think it did spur them to look at things. But the city has been looking for quite some time. So for them to really make that move and say, you know what, we're going to bite off the big banana and we're just going to do it. And they did. And it just was really exciting to see.
I think you just started a new hashtag, bite off the big banana. I'm loving it. Let's do it. I mean it. I start thinking in hashtags now. It's kind of sad. But so that's one. I mean, that's like major. It's
that
like we should all take a deep breath, press pause, and say kudos to our city.
Yes.
For making such a big commitment to our air quality.
Yes. And, you know, if you are in the city of Tucson city limits, you live there, and you see one of these trash haulers, give them a call and just say, hey, thanks, because you won't. They're much quieter. They don't smell like the diesel trash haulers. It's just a great thing to say thanks. And you can just pick up that phone and just
great
tell
thing
them,
to say
thank
thanks.
You. Thank you for doing that. It made a difference.
Maybe it's like the number on the back saying, am I driving safe? Call my boss.
Yeah.
And
just say, call
the
number
and say,
not only is he driving safe,
hey,
but he's driving clean.
I'm behind the car and the truck and it doesn't stink.
Yeah.
Which is really disgusting. So that's Eco Champion number one for 2017. That's
ours
amazing,
is 2016,
though.
So these are all numbers.
Okay,
wait till
right.
you see 2017. They're gonna really knock it out of the park. But I can't tell secrets.
No, but when you do, we'll hear it first on Mrs. Green's World.
You got it.
I'm ready for that. Okay.
So you ready for number two?
Number two.
All right. Amphitheater School District.
Another big
Amphitheater School District. So we started their project with an EPA grant, and it is called the DERA grant, the Diesel Emissions Reductions Act funding, which we here in Tucson had been applying with school districts for that funding for, about 10 years and not been successful. But we had a little light bulb go off, and we pulled in a school from an area that has really bad air quality, and lo and behold, we got the grant. And what it did was it allowed this school and my next champion, but this school, to purchase 2 propane school buses. From that, they moved forward And they purchased, and I'm trying to find the number here, 22 propane school buses. 22. Their fleet is only 138. This is a small district, and an alternative fuel bus is a lot more expensive than a diesel bus. So,
And it just begs the question, things like, you know, where there's a will, there's a way, and
right.
making it happen. When you say an EPA grant, what did that fund and what does it help them to do?
So what they were able to do, they had buses that they already had to purchase. So they had that capital.
Right.
But an alternative fuel bus is just a little bit more. So that EPA grant will allow that extra dollar amount to be paid for. So they... That's what they did. They purchased the two buses for what they would have purchased diesel buses for, and then EPA paid for the incremental cost.
And, you know, I don't think this is a
But only two.
I mean, it's you're knocking my socks off. You're knocking my green socks off. But I think it really, for the thousands of listeners that we have, this is not a political statement. It's a statement about our quality of life.
Yes.
Fight for the EPA.
Yes.
Because here's another story that, you know, gives me goosebumps about the important work that the EPA is doing. That is the silent, no heroes, no medals work that they're doing. And I keep saying to people, it's our air.
Yeah.
Our children, our grandchildren, us, our elderly parents are breathing this air. So whatever petition you can sign, whatever senator you can call, we need the EPA for our quality of life. That's not political.
I don't think people really understand either the importance of funding projects like this for school districts.
Yes, look at the ripple effect.
School districts do not have the money to do this. And to just give them that boost that they needed, it was...
A little bit.
And
look at the difference.
And this was $150,000 over three school districts. That's not... a lot of money.
No, it isn't. It's chump change in the national budget. Let's be honest.
It was huge to them. And what they've done this year is, like I said, 22 buses. They reduced greenhouse gas emissions by 5.7 tons with those 22 buses. And they have also implemented a district-wide idle reduction campaign.
So what does that mean?
That means if you are waiting to pick those kids up, turn that bus off.
Even if it's 110, they have to?
Park in the shade and turn off the bus and get out
and
of
then
the
wait,
bus.
Yes.
Because
idling is such a cause of emission.
Unlike the big myth, buses do not take that long to cool down.
Okay.
So.
But that's a really good, and when I see them, I get aggravated and I think, idling, oh my gosh.
Yep.
Get out of your bus, turn
get
it
out,
off.
Turn it off. Go outside
in.
And sit in the shade together and talk.
Yeah.
Ooh, really?
What a
Everybody
concept.
Everybody get together and talk? So good kudos to Amphi because that was huge. That was really huge.
It's huge.
It is. And our next...
drum roll for hero number three.
Ready?
Eco champion. Yes.
Marana Unified School District.
Wow.
That fleet manager over there has not only picked up the ball and helped every school district wanting to move to an alternative, he's ready at the drop of a hat. Anytime I touch the phone, he's right there saying, what do you need? How can I help? He was also one of the recipients of the DARE grant, and he bought two dedicated natural gas school buses, so he's going the opposite way, and then applied for a rebate program. The rebate is you fork over the money first. You buy all these buses first.
Right, right.
And then we'll rebate the incremental cost of those buses.
So of the cost of a school bus versus this bus?
The CNG bus.
Got it.
So the incremental cost from a diesel to CNG, they rebate them after they purchase every bus. So Little Marana Unified School District received more funding in the rebate program than any school district in the United States.
Oh my gosh. I mean, that is, you're just a plethora of really good news in a time when we can
Absolutely.
All use it.
Absolutely. And you know, the
So
reason,
say that again, more than...
They received about, I believe it was $467,000 in rebate money. Now, they haven't spent it all yet because they're still buying buses and they don't get the money till the bus is purchased. But that is more rebate funding than any school district in the United States received. And why, you might ask? Because they have proven that they will implement these programs and projects in a timely fashion and in the best way possible. And help others. And so they are just wow as well.
So when they do that, like these districts, what is their fueling mechanism? Do they put in CNG fuel pumps so that they can have access to it?
That's what they are working on now, is a full public-private fueling station. So they'll have one side of it that is only for their use, and then the other side will be for public use. And that they're building right now. So what they have right now is a slow fuel maker. So they plug in those buses overnight, and they fuel them overnight. And, you know, it's a system.
Got it. It's a process. And it's too complicated for this show.
It is.
I have to see a video someday.
But it's still.
But I get it. And what matters is the outcome. And look at the outcome.
That's right.
So three eco heroes. And we will be sure to, tag them in our social media and mention them on our page, that when we do the show and the description and all that, we'll make sure that they get mentioned, because that's huge.
Great.
I mean, it's really good. And do they, so let's go back to the coalition, which is the second question. Is the educational platform a lot to do with that coalition and sharing stories?
Yes.
And getting people, this is what happened with me, these are roadblocks you could over, it's an educational platform.
Absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely.
So that's really, really matters.
And we try to make sure that we are able to bring these fleet managers out to conferences and things so that we can share that great information and be able to pick this project up and take it anywhere in the U.S. and help whoever needs help.
Right, right. Okay. So, another drum roll. One of my favorite organizations here that's in the West is the Western National Parks Association. Love them. You told me about this, I don't know, a year ago. What's going on with the national parks in Arizona,
oh,
and how
boy.
Is Clean Cities working with them?
So this is the 100th anniversary of the National Park System.
Right.
And the National Parks Projects, which is under the Department of the Interior and the Department of Energy, they joined forces, pooled some funding together, and they are helping Clean Cities coalitions to get out to these national parks, put projects together that reduce petroleum use, reduce idling, and educate the public as to why we're doing this. So in the state of Arizona, we have Petrified Forest, was our very first project.
Right.
So now they have three electric vehicles, dedicated electric. They have charging infrastructure for the public, and then charging infrastructure for themselves. And we are implementing right now, we're working on, and we're going to be implementing, hopefully by the end of, I think, July, a full idle reduction campaign at the park up near the visitor center. I don't know how many national parks people go to, but when you're up at that visitor center, how many tour buses do you see that sit there while the tourists are out in the park or in the visitor center, and they idle?
And I love national parks. I mean, even, you know, we could have a whole conversation about Sabino Canyon and why they're not converting. So maybe there'll be hope on that someday soon, because those, you talk about those trams, they stink. And it's one of my favorite places in the world, so I don't want to trash Sabino Canyon. It is like, it is a mecca.
We have been working with them.
So idle reduction, and will that involve educating the public when they're in, because in those visitor centers, when you're on vacation, what do? I go and I read everything.
That's
which
right.
You never do if it's, I don't go in Sabino Canyon, but when I go to any place else,
you go
in and you look at everything.
Have you been to the Petrified Forest and you see these little stops where you have these little, they call them wayward signs, and they'll tell you about what you're looking at out in the...
Yes, so, I've been there, but it's like in a distant memory, decades ago, I'm sorry to admit.
I didn't even know what it was. I went out and said, this is a forest, but there's no trees. I didn't get petrified. I didn't get that. But what we're going to do is we're going to do some geocaching throughout the park.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Isn't that fun?
Yes.
I can't wait. I'm so excited.
It is really fun.
But we're also...
But you do it on your phone now.
I'm
so old that we had machines.
Well, I can't wait. I can't wait. I think it's
going to be fun. Geocaching.
But what we're going to do also in the parks and at schools, we're going to have our youth help us out. And we're going to give them little signs that say, no idling young lungs at work. And we're going to arm them with gifts and goodies. And when they see somebody doing the right thing, turning off that engine, they're going to go out, knock on the door or the window, or talk to the person driving and give them a goodie and say, thank you.
What?
Because I breathe 50% more air than you do, and I want to breathe clean air.
Where are you going to get these kids from?
All over the place. Sometimes in the parks, like at Petrified Forest, some of the park staff will be bringing their kids. There are also youth organizations in the areas. And at the schools, we're going to use students at the school.
Oh my gosh.
How do you like it?
I love it.
Is
and
that
give
fun
them
or
good
what?
Prizes. And you know, the thing about involving kids is you're ensuring some continuity because they really do care.
Absolutely.
And they'll make their parents do it. It really aggravates me. Like even when I go anywhere and somebody's sitting in the car waiting and it's 70 degrees, not 95, and they're in the car idling with the door closed and the air conditioner on while somebody's going in and ordering food or shopping. And I'm like, I want to go knock, knock, knock.
I do.
Maybe I can get a little kid's
badge. I do
badge.
Knock, knock, knock. It's really bad. But I don't like it when
you
see the windows down.
Yes.
You see the windows down, the AC running in the car.
Do
running.
You understand what you're doing? Here, idling is such a huge percentage of CO2 emissions. So it's going to be going rolling out to different places.
I've now begun working with Saguaro National East and West.
Awesome.
And the Casa Grande Monument Ruins and the Grand Canyon.
And I was going to see if the Grand Canyon got on there. Because
well, the Grand Canyon is already using natural gas.
Right,
They are looking to implement some electric projects as well.
Okay, which we're going to get to that talking about. This is a perfect segue, and we didn't set this up or practice this, everybody. So this is the timing for me, a timing thing where it's like messages from the universe or whoever's giving me messages. I was listening for at least a good 30 minutes to an NPR interview with really what I call, you know, C-suite, I don't care what you call them, thought leaders, really recognized leaders in the country about the future of electric cars, knowing that this was going to be, you know, recorded today. And the progress at which they are moving forward is mind-blowing to me. They were talking about, I mean, you know, zip cars used to be a new concept, and how whole cities, people are giving up their cars, and I feel, and I want to get a sense from you, that electric vehicles are our future. I just don't
very
think
near future.
They are near.
Yeah.
It's not like 50 years.
Mm-mm.
It's happening. My electric vehicle, my Chapman Audi, I came home from Phoenix last night, didn't want to stop for gas, had a meeting early this morning, plugged it in, and I went to my meeting. It's like magic. And I found out on the show, I didn't know, it cost me about 2 cents a gallon in the whatever that translates
Woo-hoo!
To for electricity. So the cost
good?
Is like, it's not like it's sucking electricity out of the air. Wish I answered that. So what are happening? What's your crystal ball about electric vehicles, both in terms of fleet, which will then be about the masses of regular commuters and all that, but what's going to happen?
So, just so you know, every major auto manufacturer right now,
every major
auto manufacturer, I'll say it again, everyone has at least two new models of vehicles that are dedicated electric, 100% electric vehicles, okay? Chevy will be coming out with Bolt, and Honda has their, you know,
fuel
cells, and every single major auto manufacturer will be coming out with electric vehicles. So we have started looking through another grant that I have at the Department of Energy. We're going to be implementing an all-electric car share program.
What?
Do you like it?
I am.
So we have a large instance downtown of retirees that say, I don't want to own a car anymore. I don't want to have to remember to get the oil changed. I don't want to have to remember for the tires and the brakes. And I just want to get in the car and go see the grandkids. So they're going to pay into a program, and we're going to implement an all-electric car share program that will have some hybrid electric and gas assist vehicles, because we don't want anybody to get stuck and not be able to go see Johnny at his play. You know, if it's out in an outlying area where we don't have charging infrastructure, we still want to get them to go, you know, go see the grandkids. But for the most part, it will be dedicated electric vehicles that we use.
And can you imagine how that will change? When you talk about, like, I do admit it, I have fears about CO2 emission and how it's accelerating. I mean, it did level off in 2016, so that is really good. But to see it go backwards would be a cause for running down the street, jumping up and down and clicking your heels. So that's going to be in Tucson, and that's what they talked about. In cities, it will happen first and fastest, but that's where most people are. You have your coasts, and the infrastructure will appear.
Well, we're working also to connect major cities. You know, Tucson and Phoenix are already connected, and the state of Arizona is working with us to help ensure that we're connected through the major cities and the small cities. And as well, what we have to remember is for fleets, what this can do, it can change the face of a fleet operation by allowing them to scale back on the purchase of their vehicle, but implement electric car shares less insurance, less maintenance.
Everything.
So those fleets
and
then
in cities,
can afford
parking.
To do other things.
Parking.
Oh, parking is a
in
huge.
Phoenix. I mean, in L.A.,
yes.
in New York. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a budget item to have to be able to park. So the my favorite electric vehicle, I'll tell you who my champion is, the University of Arizona. Because when I'm going down there for appointments, parking is challenging.
Right where, you can park and plug in, don't you?
And there's never anybody there,
that's
which
right.
will change.
It will change very soon.
I was at the Tucson Festival of Books, and I'm like, oh, crap, I got to fight the parking. And I went, no, I don't. And I pulled
that's
in
right.
there, and the parking lot was full. But I said, well, I have an electric vehicle. Come right in, park my
Woo-hoo!
Vehicle in. But it really is transformative. But what about... So do you know when they're going to have an all-electric train from Tucson to Phoenix? Like, I was coming home last night.
A little
bit longer.
Little.
Probably not for me to see when I'm still commuting. But
I don't want to say that now.
But
I don't want to say that.
I was coming home last night, and I'm like,
hopeful.
Do you know what I would give? Somebody said it to me. What I would give. Did you say it? We have a team member here, Meredith. And can you imagine if you could get in a train and just come right home? And I thought, I commuted, and I used every bit of my commuting time to either be in the bar car with a lot of friends, or read a book, or do work, because commuting is not necessarily a bad thing. It's a really very, very efficient use of time.
So I want to say to you that I feel as if before you are not doing what you're doing, and it's going to be years and years, I'm sure, you're going to see that train happen.
I will be so happy. And I would be, I'm a good traveler. I would get up. If they had a zip car there for me, I would get it. Or if the light rail worked. It's harder for Phoenix to think of a light rail, but a zip car. So I'd save all the fuel and my time and be able to do a whole bunch of work. So it'd be great.
And the state has said they want to work with us on a car share program statewide. So... You know, we're
car
just
share. It's it makes so much sense,
yes,
and the millennials will be jumping on that one. They already are. Okay,
are.
I have two really important
okay.
questions, and this is going to be the same old thing because I have to say the websites, or Sheila will be really mad at me. Given our public information, our current political situation, do you anticipate changes in your programs in the weeks and months to come? I know there's no way to adequately answer that with you know facts or. I have to make a joke, okay? Alternative facts. Oh, sorry, just a little bit of a joke there. I can do that once in a while.
Sure.
But I'm in good company, Dan Rather, you know. So what do you think is happening? Are you in the scope of cut this program because it's really helping the environment? I'm getting my own self in trouble.
I do not think. My personal thought is that there's a lot of damage that can be done in 4 years, but I don't think... that it would be politically smart of anyone to eliminate a program that shows such reduction in petroleum, which is a number one issue in America.
Yes.
I don't
yes.
think that it's going to happen.
And when I say political, I'm not taking a shot at Republicans, believe me.
Oh, no.
I am
not, because
there are so many very consciously living, committed climate
Absolutely.
People in both camps because they know the science, they know
yes.
it's smart, and they know it's our air. Okay. I'm going to do the websites and the ways to contact you because
That's
we
good.
Only have a minute. PagRegion, .com on the website.
Yes.
And it's an easy to navigate website. The search bar works great. On Facebook, PagRegion, and on Twitter, PagRegion. So people can find that out. We'll be tweeting about that.
And Clean Cities. We have a Facebook as well, Tucson Clean Cities.
That wasn't on there. So I have to see that. Kelly, you're on double secret
Tucson
probation.
Tucson Clean Cities.
Tucson
and,
Clean
and
Cities.
We're on Twitter
and I follow it.
Girl.
I follow that. So, Twitter is what? Alt Fuel Girl. Alt Fuel Girl.
Yes.
Okay, we got it. And I know that.
Yes.
But I was so comfortable prepping
okay.
for the show, I forgot. So Tucson Clean Cities on Facebook and Alt Fuel Girl on Twitter. Let's just say in 30 seconds, you got an A+ on the report card for the metrics of what you changed.
Thank you.
In 2016, correct?
Yes. And I want all of the coalition members to know it and to be proud of it.
And to celebrate good times,
Absolutely.
Come on, and to realize that. And I hope that they listen to this show, what a commitment they've made to our air, and I want to say it over and over, our clean air, and thank you for work you're doing. Mike Baruch, The Future of Your Home, Part 2 from TEP, is our next Down to Earth. And on April 4th, Vien Trong, Green for All, someone I met at Bioneers, you won't believe what she's doing. Make it a great great green day. And Colleen, congratulations on all these accomplishments and eco champions.
Thank you.
Hashtag eco champions. Thanks, everybody.